There it is.
A Saturday tradition. Hey, the Sports Corner on ESPN.
Is the Sports Corner here on ESPN 100.3, brought to you as always by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Casey Gisclair here, Stan Gravois across the way. We've got a jam-packed show coming your way. We've got Lafourche football coach Aaron Meyer, who will be on the line in 15 minutes. South Lafourche boys basketball coach and athletic director Brian Colley will be on the line. Terrebonne football coach Gary Hill will be on the line in at the bottom of the hour. Then we open up hour two with Ellender football coach Jesse Turner, who will be on the line. And then we talk some LSU and some Saints and all that good stuff in between. But Stan, we are getting closer to the start of the high school football season. We've got scrimmages next Friday and all that good stuff, just a couple of weeks away from the start of the season. So Stan, seems like, if we could just get the Hurricanes out of the way, everything would be so much better and so much smoother.
Well, for the start of the season, obviously we're in the realm of certainty, because I would imagine with just a week left to go before scrimmages, I don't foresee anything that's going to stop us, except for, you just mentioned it, some of those storms. Hopefully this is not a big one that is out there and maybe it drifts off towards the Texas Gulf area. You do wish we could get a break. It's interesting. We would probably in past years be sitting here letting everybody know who's scrimmaging each other next week, getting ready for the season. But quite honestly, I don't know if we're supposed to promote that, because we don't know who can go to these scrimmages, how they're going to be carried out. And those scrimmages are going to be as much for on-the-field activity. Those scrimmages are also going to be a great test run for how you handle protocol on the sideline and related to all of the things that are on the, related to everything medical inclined, what the athletic trainers have to do and all. So it's going to be an interesting week. But nonetheless, again, we're not quite sure if you guys out there could actually go to any of these scrimmages.
One of the things that we have talked about throughout the last several shows here is, while, yes, COVID is a huge concern, there's also the concern of getting guys ready, getting guys, physically in shape for the season and your conditioning and all that stuff. I hear a lot of coaches that are telling me, through the area, that they are very, very concerned about their conditioning and getting their guys in shape for the upcoming season.
Yep, no doubt about that. And again, related to the sports medicine side of it, I think I told you this in the middle of the summer. That was my concern when Terrebonne Parish and Lafourche Parish stopped for about 3 weeks. It was like, okay, I understand that we're stopping because of the risk of COVID. Just don't forget about the risk of heat and hydration issues. Don't forget about the risk of concussion issues. And we've talked about this a little bit, and unfortunately there was a young man at Denham Springs High School who tragically passed away this week. Certainly our condolences to his family and to all of the Denham Springs family at that situation. Please, I would implore that coaches, that players, that parents, that everybody who's involved, administrators, make sure not to take your eye off of those things related to getting these kids ready to play. In past years, the big risk always was heat and hydration issues, concussion, but not a mortality thing with concussions, but always we worried about concussions. I hope that we just understand that those are still the primary risk factors going forward, or at least what we know to be the primary risk factors, and we have to pay attention to those going forward.
Understand that we are having a little bit of a technical issue. Truck, I reconnected while Stan was speaking. Do you hear me now? Is everything good? All right. So, yeah, we understand we got that fixed. I apologize to anybody who may have been having some issues hearing us at the beginning stages of the show. Stan, it's so interesting because, as we were talking about just a second ago with the conditioning and everything like that, one of the ways that you fix that is by physically being out on the field and, folks aren't able to get work because, Lafourche schools were canceled for Monday and Tuesday, and then, it's going to be raining all weekend, and we don't know what the upcoming days are going to look like. It feels like such a tease, like after waiting for so long and then finally being able to get back out there, there are so many obstacles and hurdles and different things that are getting in the way. I know I had a hard time booking today's show because a lot of these teams are practicing today. They're trying to get in their work any way that they can to try to make up for lost time.
Yeah, and it's like a motor that just can't get going. You know, it's sputtering. It's not hitting on all cylinders. And because of the storms, and listen, there might be a situation where we have a couple of days that get knocked out this week, depending on what I think it's called beta out in the Gulf does. And that causes another little problem. I do think from the standpoint of at least getting conditioning time in, not the physicality of it, but just the true conditioning time, things won't be bad. I do worry because of the storms last week and because of the limited time that the kids have had physical contact, that the scrimmages at best are going to be a little sloppy and it's going to take a little time. Listen, we have to get started somewhere, so I guess this is about as best as it gets for us. We still are not clear on the Orleans situation, so that certainly affects a school like Thibodaux High School, who is playing McDonough 35 in Orleans Parish School to start it all off. So we'll see how that all pans out. So we don't have all of the T's crossed and all of the I's dotted yet, quite, but we're as close as certainly we've ever been in this pandemic situation.
Spoke to Chris Dugott, Thibodaux's football coach, a couple of days ago on the point that you just mentioned. He said McDonough 35 is busing to Jefferson Parish every day to practice. Will not host any of their home games this season, but they're still going to make an effort to play. We talk about the challenges during a pandemic. Can you imagine those challenges of you having to leave your parish every day just to be able to practice? Kudos to them for being troopers and for gutting this thing out, but I can't even imagine what that must be like for those folks out there. Hopefully, you know, the folks in New Orleans city government allow some loosening and allow these teams to get after it, because we talk up again about the dangers of the pandemic. I'm not sure that putting, you know, 70 kids on a bus every single day out of the parish is any more or less safe than just, you know, letting it go in your own home parish.
I would venture to say that the relationship between the high school coaches and the leaders in government in Orleans Parish is probably not the best relationship in the world. I did hear that they were going to try and do this, but I thought it was going to be more of the private schools in Orleans Parish who were going to go outside to Jefferson and practice. So, I guess I stick my neck out on the line when I say I guess it's good news that McDonough 35 and those schools like that are in that situation and they are getting some practice time in. Because the worst thing that could happen is to say, hey, guys, you can't do anything in Orleans Parish. And then all of a sudden, a week before the season starts, you know, lift that restriction, because that would be just horrible. So I'm glad those guys are getting something done. But if you're going to do it in Jefferson Parish, which is only, you know, right next door, why aren't you doing it in Orleans? I'm not quite sure I understand the reasoning for all of that. Nonetheless, I hope that it doesn't put a little kink in the situation with Thibodaux High School. I hope that things do go off as planned.
No doubt about it. So a little bit of good news, then we'll catch a break. We are now pretty much 2 weeks removed from Labor Day. Have not seen any drastic change in our numbers. We are now several weeks into the start of on-campus learning at LaFouche Schools. We've not seen a dramatic change in our numbers. So it feels like some of the big hurdles and the big obstacles that we were looking to clear, we have cleared them safely. And now it's just a matter of continuing that momentum forward. We had that first spike in the spring, then that second spike in the early summer. We got to try to avoid a third one at all costs, but it seems like so far some of the big exposure events that we were worried about are going off, and we're not seeing a drastic change in our data.
Yeah, we're going to have to worry about the cool weather coming in when it does come in, because there are people out there who think that we may see a little bit of a spike at that time. I saw an interesting stat at the hospital yesterday where when they trailed people who did test positive, they were found, a lot of them, to go into restaurants that maybe didn't have the kind of aeration that they should have had. So if we continue to do the smart things, the wise things, I think this is all going to be okay. Again, I echo what you just said. I agree that on the high school level, I've only been hearing really good things. Obviously, we know on the professional level, they're not going to cancel any games, you know, in the future. And then when you think about collegiate football, I realize some games are getting canceled and postponed. But the testing situation, you know, if there's one person who tests positive and they were around the other in their grouping, meaning their position in most cases, they are not playing the games, but I think they're very much erring on the side of caution. And, you know, they're still getting it done. So if you would have told me this would have happened 2 months ago, I'd have told you probably not. So I'm just happy we're moving on.
So let's go ahead and catch a quick commercial break. When we get back, Central Lafourche football coach Aaron Meyer will be on the line. It's the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
On how
ESPN 100.3, 1600 AM KLEB. We made the effort to get Central Lafourche football coach Aaron Meyer. We're going to try to get him on a little later in the show. Got his voicemail. So now we're going to audible a little bit and go to South Lafourche athletic director slash boys basketball coach Brian Colley, who's on the line now. Coach Colley, good morning, man. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Doing fine.
Good. Busy times over at the school right now. You guys have gotten volleyball rolling, heading towards the beginning of football. And from what I understand from, you know, talking to folks in the community, everything seems to be going pretty well so far.
Yeah, it is. We had a very smooth opening to the school year. We spoke about this before that, you know, I think our student body, our teachers are doing a wonderful job of social distancing, following all the guidelines to keep our students and athletes safe. And, you know, it's a good time to be a South Lafourche Tarpon.
So what happens now, Brian, with basketball, considering that football is getting in its regular season on the 20th? And if playoffs teams are in there, they could possibly be going all the way into the very beginning of January. You guys doing anything different? Is there different dates that have been put out there?
Well, basketball is going to start on time. I believe second week in October, I think it is, we can start practicing. They're not going to push anything back. The season's going to go on as scheduled. They're going to have a few changes this year. I know they're going to be voting on the power rankings at the end of the season. They're going to have the coaches vote this year on the power rankings like we did a few years ago. And really it makes sense because you're going to have a lot of schools that will not get their football players until, I mean, late into the basketball season. So some of these teams might be a little weaker at the beginning, and when they get full force, all their football guys and all with them, they may be a better team toward the end of the year. So I think it's a good thing to let the coaches rate the power rankings for the teams this year, because you're going to have some teams that will improve through the course of the season.
Coach, you had the unenviable task in recent days of literally counting every single seat in Memorial Stadium. So give us a rundown of how much you all could fit, and what is the 25% capacity limitations going to look like?
Well, we had counted, and the school board came with a number, and it's like, I think 7,600 is our capacity. And, we, you know, the 25%, I think somewhere is about 830-something we can fit on the visitor side, and a little over 1,000 on the home side. So we're in a good situation in most schools. And, you know, I think early on in the season, in our standpoint, if you're going to give an MVP, Mr. George Hebert would be our MVP for getting a big stadium back in the day.
So what happens as far as who gets to get in? Is it first come, first serve?
Well, what we're going to do on Monday, we're going to start selling football tickets. And a different couple of things we're going to do. We're going to have a 5-game season ticket package that will be available starting on Monday. And we're going to offer this to our football parents and grandparents, try and get them to make sure they get tickets. So we strongly encourage the football parents and grandparents to come in on starting on Monday and purchase these tickets, where, you know, 5-game package for $40, or they can come in and buy single game tickets if they choose to. But we're with a limited number, we are strongly encouraging people to come in and get these tickets in advance. And we sent Central Lafourche tickets yesterday. I gave them to Coach Pop, and they're going to sell the week before the actual game, and they can sell Monday, Tuesday, and possibly Wednesday of game week. And I'll go ahead and pick up the tickets Wednesday afternoon. And if they didn't sell their entire allotment, we'll have extra to sell for our home crowd. But, you know, you can't guarantee that those tickets will be available, so you want to come get them quick.
And, of course, Coach, you know, the partnership between you guys and us here at Coastal Broadcasting, if somebody doesn't feel safe or is, you know, out of town or whatever it may be, the games are going to be streamed this year. Give us a little bit of a rundown about how that's all going to work.
Yeah, you know, thanks to the truck, you know, coming in and giving us a percentage from his share of the deal. Well, we're going to get 80% of the money taken in, so we're going to recoup some of these tickets that we're going to lose. But it's a great deal. I think it's $15. You can buy a game, and after the fact, you're going to have the option. I think it might be $5. So you can buy the game for unlimited time. You can watch it after. So it's going to be a really good deal. And if people don't feel safe, it's going to be out there, and we're going to be working on our away opponent. If they're not going to stream the game, we're going to try and get it streamed for our home fans if they don't want to make the trip, because we are in a situation, our away games, we're going to have two games at South Terrebonne. We play South Terrebonne and Ellendale in their stadium, and they have a big home side and a small visitor side. So I think it's like 350 tickets we can get for our away game and for those two games. And the away game at Morgan City, it might be closer to 200 tickets that we can get, because Morgan City just has that home side. So it's a challenge for us, so hopefully we can work it out where we can stream these away games and let our Torben fans watch some football.
What do you expect in the scrimmages? I know you work hard on Friday nights making sure things are organized and ready, especially for home games. But now with the scrimmages, it would seem like that would be the dry run for all of the protocol you have to have in place. Are you going to be there kind of monitoring to make sure that things are done the right way?
Yeah, well, we had an inter-squad scrimmage yesterday, and we've seen some things that we need to work on as far as sideline protocol, with our trainer and the water situation. I'm going to be meeting with Coach Young next week. We're going to come up with a plan, and we'll get with the trainer and Ms. Jeremy, and we're going to have us a plan set for game day on the sidelines to make sure that we're following, all the protocols and that we're keeping our athletes as safe as possible.
Inter-squad scrimmage yesterday, and you had an opportunity to take a peek. We're going to have Young on next Saturday.
You're skipping
about
bad.
The team season. What do you think Harpers looked like yesterday?
Look, they were flying around. They were having fun. Well-disciplined team. I told the coaches after. I was proud of the effort that they gave coaching-wise, and we just we got some guys who can play. And, our defense looked really good yesterday, and hopefully they can keep that up. I think we've got a strong linebacker group in there. Hunter Conley is a beast. I mean, he can flat-out play. And on offensive-wise, we scored a few touchdowns against each other, but both teams were scoring. We threw the ball well, and Patrick Disclair commanded that huddle. Second year coming back as quarterback, and you can tell the experience from last year definitely helped him out.
I would imagine just under Coach Young, the excitement level is a lot higher. And from a personal perspective, in being a basketball coach and being the head basketball coach along with athletic director, I guess it's a twofold question to you. Do you miss football, one, and is it just smarter because it's so hard to do football and basketball that you just kind of stay away and do these athletic directorship duties?
Well, I do miss football. Just being around the kids and the coaches, and it's a special bond that you develop with them. I do miss it. I like coaching basketball also, but it's a lot. When you are an athletic director, head basketball coach, and if you're gonna coach football, it is a lot to do. And nowadays we're getting more and more duties as athletic directors get done. So it's a big challenge if you can do all three of them.
Coach, in terms of, how you guys get people into the stadium and everything like that, I know there are going to be some checks and balances that you guys are going to do. What's that going to look like? Because I understand that, you guys want to make sure everybody that's in the stadium is okay, but at the same time, you don't want to have fans or anything like that. You guys are encouraging people to get to the stadium pretty early.
Yes. We're going to – it's our hope that we will not have any tickets to sell at the gate. And I think a lot of schools are trying to get that done. But, if some weeks if we do have extra tickets, we will sell some. But we're trying to make sure we sell everything in advance so we don't have people lined up waiting to buy tickets. And once they come into the stadium, we're going to ask that they, please practice social distancing, wear a mask. Our kids have been working hard, and we definitely do not want to see their season taken away from them. So if we can all do our part and keep these kids safe and keep the fans safe also and our coaching staff and all, you know, we're looking forward to an exciting season.
And pardon my ignorance on this, but do they temperature check to get, and when I say they, parents or spectators, are they expected to temperature check whenever they go into the stands?
I don't believe they will because it's outdoors. I think if it's an indoor competition, the schools have the option. They can do it. And I know some schools are doing it, but being outdoors, to me, it's unrealistic because you're standing out in the heat. And, I mean, those temperatures you're going to get, they're going to be elevated. So I don't think there's temperature checks going on, but, you know, the social distancing and wearing a mask, hopefully that's going to be followed.
Coach, before we let you go, do you think your Wave are going to win today? And then, secondly, do you think the Saints are going to win on Monday?
Well, as far as the Wave, you know, they're getting ready to kick off at 11. So I think they're going to win. We talked about this yesterday. They're going to have to definitely start off a little stronger. I like their run game, the way it developed throughout the course of their game last week. They came back. You know, they were down. They came back, made a good comeback, and won the game. And as far as the Saints go, I think the Saints will put up about 40 points on the Raiders and coast an easy victory.
40 points, even without Michael Thomas?
Yeah, what Michael Thomas caught last week. Caught a few. You know, they have other weapons, and the Saints are going to run the ball. And, I mean, just throw the Kamara out of the backfield, you're fine.
Sounds like a winner. Look, boss, thanks so much for the time, and look forward to chatting again soon.
And, Casey, real quick, also next week we're also going to attempt to do this. We're going to try and sell some away tickets. We don't have our allotment yet, but in order to make sure parents and, you know, supporters get their tickets, we're going to start selling away tickets at school. We're going to give the football players an envelope where they're going to have to check which games they want, the tickets they want for their away games, and they'll pay for it. And once we get the tickets, we're going to issue the tickets out to the football players. So it's just an effort that we're going to try and make sure that our fans get our tickets for these away games.
Sounds like a winner, Coach. Thanks so much, man.
Appreciate it. Y'all take care.
That is South Lafourche Athletic Director Brian Colley. We're going to bring Truck in before our next break because we talked about the streaming. Truck, what is the website and everything? Where could they go? How could they find it? And give us a rundown of all that good stuff in terms of the streaming for the upcoming year.
The streaming is going to be pay-per-view. Like Coach Colley said, 80% goes to South Lafourche High School. 20% goes to Blue Frame Technologies, the company that we stream with. Radio station gets zero out of this. I just want the public to know that. But the South Lafourche is getting all the money. It's the site is teamoneprep.com. T-E-A-M, the number one, P-R-E-P.com. You'll see a picture of the United States. You click on Louisiana. And we're the only school so far in Louisiana utilizing this service with Blue Frame. Other schools are doing other things with streaming, but click on Louisiana, and I've got every volleyball game and football game loaded. I went and bought my season pass for $75. You can get the football season pass, which is a big deal. And like Coach said, $15, you can buy your individual game tickets. And once you buy that ticket, you're able to watch the game over and over and over. But it's teamoneprep.com. And it's a great service in order for schools to recoup any lost money at the gates.
Technology is absolutely amazing, isn't it, Stan?
It is, and it is, as is a great resource to have for South Lafourche High School.
And again, it's credit card information, and just like buying online, once you get your card with them, if you don't want to buy the second game, your card's on file, and it's an easy process from your initial setup. So, teamoneprep.com.
Sounds like a winner. Let's go ahead and catch a quick commercial break. When we get back, we're going to try again with Central Lafourche football coach Aaron Meyer. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3. EDY and Assumption, South Terrebonne and Terrebonne, Ellender and HL Bourgeois, Vanderbilt taking on Berwick, Home of Christian taking on Ascension Christian, CCA taking on Kenner Discovery Health Science, Morgan City taking on Erath, Patterson taking on Lafayette, Central Catholic taking on Vinton. Stan, of those matchups, which of those matchups are you most looking forward to seeing? Was there a lot of really good week one / week three matchups? And there are a lot of those matchups that are pitting two local teams against one another.
Lots of rival games to start off the year, and obviously that wouldn't have happened this way. Central Lafourche and South Lafourche, the two new coaches. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch to see how those teams differ. I think high schools, when they usually get a new coach, there is a, I would say, quote-unquote, honeymoon period for the new coaches where the kids are extremely excited. And the one thing about the resiliency of kids on the high school level is that when they're on a high, they're on a high. But, boy, after that first game, things can switch a little bit. So I think that's obviously an important game. I think from a talent standpoint, Thibodeau and McDonough 35 is going to be interesting because I think there's going to be an extreme amount of talent in that game. Obviously, Assumption and E.D. White is going to go a long way, and that's a huge power ranking game for both of those teams down the line. So all being said related to the pandemic and the first week of high school football, we've got some really big matchups. And I would say this, too, as related to getting ready for these games. One of the schools locally did something that I thought was sort of interesting. We keep talking about the kids that might not be available for a game because of the pandemic. What this school did was they actually held out a coach each day of the week to let the kids know what it felt like to not have that particular coach there. For example, wow. if you have a coach that calls offensive plays, and then on a Friday night that coach is sick for whatever reason, let's hope it's not the pandemic, but whatever reason the coach can't be available, that's kind of weird. That's like having a substitute teacher, when you're in high school calling you plays. So you might be a little disorientated with that. So what they did was they held that coach back out of sight of the playing field. He was still part of the practice by using technology. They had earphones on and everything. But what they did was didn't allow that particular coach to participate so that the kids could understand what it would be like if that coach was out because of the pandemic or otherwise. And they said the kids, it's not going to be a shock to them. So there's just so many variables going on with all of this stuff. And I thought that was kind of neat. I'm not sure it'll ever happen, but if it does, I guess they'll be ready.
Another thing that I thought was kind of interesting, Thibodeau High School, I don't know if you saw this, they're doing their senior night the first game of the season against McDonough 35. I asked Coach Dugas about that, and he said, hey, look, I think we're going to be able to play the whole season, but if we're not, I'm going to make sure that my seniors have their senior night and that they're not going to, have to be looking back and saying, man, I wish we could have had that opportunity. So Thibodeau High School is saying, first game out of the chute, senior night, we're appreciative of our seniors, and we respect all the things that they've done throughout their career. I thought that that was a very classy gesture as well.
Very smart move. Not only that, considering that, seniors on the high school level can't come back for another year. This isn't collegiate football. Very smart move. I did not know that, and I agree with it 100%.
One game that I'm looking forward to seeing in that week one slate, Assumption and E.D. White. I think E.D. White's going to be awfully good with Coach Lesang. They're very well coached, and they're going to be physical and run the ball, try to control the game. Assumption's got high expectations, but they've got a first-year head coach in Coach Menard, and he's been open about, the transition of changing the offense and everything like that. I'm very curious to get out of the South and Central game on that Friday night and then go take a peek at the scoreboard, see what happened out in Napoleonville. I got a feeling the result of that game is going to tell us a lot about both of those teams.
A lot of schools that have new coaches are in a situation where there's only one way to go, and that's up, because the reason you lost the coach was because maybe things weren't going so well. That's not the case at Assumption. So it does put a little bit more pressure on Coach Menard and his staff. Because if things don't start off well for that school, you do have that natural tendency to say, well, wait a minute. They were really good under Coach Payne. Is there a little something going on right here? So it's interesting to see how everybody's going to adapt to all of this going forward. I don't think it's going to be a huge problem, obviously. You know, Coach Menard was a state coach of the year two times in his career. So don't think it's going to be a big thing. And obviously we know Assumption is really talented. Interestingly enough, about E.D. White and talking to one of their coaches, I said, what's your strong suit? And they said the skill position. We probably need more depth on the offensive and defensive line. When have you ever heard that about E.D. White? So that I thought that was an interesting statement.
So we go to the phone lines now. We have Central Lafourche football coach Aaron Meyer on the line. Coach, good morning, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. We're in the final stretch run, getting ready to play some high school football in the next 2 weeks or so. How are things looking over in Trojan land?
Hey, man, you know, we're good over here at Troy. We got everybody working. Coach Rezos is doing a great job. Mr. Arnold's leading us well, so we're fine over here in Troy.
Coach, I don't know if you ever heard of this guy, but for the last 4 years, there was a pretty good running back over there named Deion Jenkins. How do you replace it? What goes forward? Is anybody really stepping up that you can kind of put your bell cow on around on the offensive side of the ball?
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, Coach. You don't really replace guys. Everybody's their own person. You just kind of train the next guy up and hope that they're able to perform to the best of their ability. So as far as Deion, he had a great career here. You know, that will always be remembered. So, I mean, in 2020 season, we're going to find a guy to tote it, and, you know, they're going to be able to have their carries and do what we need to do to be successful.
Coach, we have so many first-year guys in the area, and they're all telling us different stories about how they're implementing their offenses and their schemes and everything like that. How's that been for you guys? Are the kids catching on to it?
Oh, yeah. Coach Nockham is doing a great job, man. All our offensive coaches are doing a good job over there installing what we need to have. We're just trying to play it correctly as I would say as we can. You know, just not worrying about, you know, how fast we're doing it. Just worrying about, you know, taking our time and putting it in.
Talk a little bit about your scrimmage matchup this upcoming week, who you'll be taking on, and what kind of, you know, outside of the field type things you're kind of getting in order related to the protocol to make sure that everything goes off okay.
We'll be playing Assumption. You know, Coach Menard's now there. He was here. That'll probably be a thing for some people. But as for us, we're just trying to get the work in and do what we need to do to make sure that we're successful week one. But as far as getting everything with the sidelines and all of the guidelines, like I said, we're working with Coach Vedros and with all of the association and everybody's guidelines to make sure we're doing what we need to do in order to, you know, be inside of the things that we need to do for safety and make sure that our kids are as comfortable as they can be in order to perform.
Right out of the gate, your two biggest rivals, both on the road, South Lafourche and Thibodaux. Talk about the importance of, you know, having the gun smoking right out of the chute.
Coach, every game is a championship game here. So we got to understand that whether it's South Lafourche or whether it's West Monroe or whether it's the same, we're going to play them all the same. We're going to prepare here in Troy. We're going to do what we got to do.
I did get a couple of days ago, being a lifetime member of the LHSA, I guess it's pretty much the mandate for all sports, but then it goes specific to each sport. And I noticed that you guys were going to have to sit and go through a course. Now, it's not, I think, an extensive course, but it was for coaches, and I'm not quite sure who else. Is that something that you guys have to do, or it's just recommended that you do? And if you did do it, can you share what it is?
Definitely. Everybody has to go through the COVID courses, and we got to basically be as safe as we can to the extent that we can. So, and understanding what we're doing, that course just kind of shows us, you know, what the disease is, what kind of mask you need to wear, just tries to keep reminding people and keep it fresh on your mind. So it really wasn't that big of a deal. It's the same thing that everybody's doing, just trying to be safe as you can and have as much normalcy as you can.
We had Brian Colley on earlier in the show at South Lafourche. He was telling us their seating and all the different things that they're allowed to do. Your stadium is pretty big, but it's a little bit smaller than theirs. Do you have the exact numbers, you know, factored into the 25%?
We're going to actually work on that in a couple of weeks, Coach. I can't give you that answer right now. I would love to, but it's just something I can't do right now.
And related to how many kids you have out there, has participation been good, and what are your numbers like right now?
Right now, I think we've been average for what Central usually has. We're still trying to work with the COVID and people kind of understanding, you know, what's safe and what's not safe for their child. So, I mean, the numbers have kind of been you know, fluctuating with that. But, like, again, I would love to get your answer right now, but I couldn't put my thumb on it for you.
Coach, one thing that, a lot of emphasis is always put on this in a normal season is special teams. And you know, we have Coach Rod on every Saturday, and he talks about how he feels that special teams is going to be huge in the upcoming season because, you know, the schedule's been shortened and, you know, games are going to be decided by just a couple of plays here and there. Talk about what you feel like your special teams are looking like so far.
I think we're going to be fine in that phase of the game. I mean, you just got to grow. And at the end of the day, it's kind of hard to practice it. It's kind of hard to scrimmage it. That's something that usually everybody works through the first couple of weeks of the season. But with this season being the way it is, I think by probably October 16th, you'll start seeing what, you know, people have on special teams and finding punters and kickers and snappers and really have those guys battle test and see what they're going to do.
Position grouping-wise, without getting into names, any position group that you really feel strong about that maybe has stepped it up and they are maybe a little bit more advanced than any other position groupings on the team?
No, Coach, I'm going to be honest with you. We've been in a dead tie most of the time. We're getting our periods. We're conditioning well. We're going, you know, pretty well at our clip and getting things in on both sides of the ball. So right now I'm at a stalemate when I watch the tape.
Coach, how have you guys been able to make up for the lost time? And what I mean by that is, you know, missed a little time over the summer, and then, you know, you get back, and then now we've been shut down for a couple of different storms. And it feels like every time we, you know, hit the pedal to the metal, we're having to stop again. You guys, you know, adjust your schedule to make up for the lost time.
I've been saying for probably a couple of years now, you know, you got to make sure you win the game above the shoulder. So as long as our head's still in the ball game, we're getting able to get information out to kids and getting installs and things like that, I mean, we'll be able to grow. And then as far as mental and just getting those physical reps, you're able to get those back as long as we're locked in mentally.
And obviously, everybody, it was a sad week related to the situation with Denham Springs High School. I would imagine you guys are just being safe related to heat and hydration and making sure that all of the kids are taken care of, right?
Yeah, we definitely. I mean, our Lafourche Parish, I mean, I'm sure at South they have the same type of training. I know at Thibodaux we have pretty serious training. So, I mean, it'll definitely be good. It'll definitely be work well with that, and we kind of follow those guidelines.
Sounds good. Well, Coach, look, we thank you so much for the time, and we'll chat again soon, okay?
Will do. Thanks.
That is Central Lafourche football coach Aaron Meyer. We know he's had a busy morning. We thank him for carving out a little time for us here on this Saturday. Let's go ahead, Stan, and catch a quick commercial break. Whenever we get back, we're going to get back to our regular schedule and have Terrebonne football coach Gary Hill on the line. His Tigers are getting ready for a Week 1 rivalry matchup against South Terrebonne. That'll be in 2 weeks. It's the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
When you need health-related answers quickly, you want...
Good morning. I'm doing fine. How about you and Stan?
Doing great, my friend. You guys are diving headfirst into this thing. You've got a full week of practice next week, assuming that there's not another storm, and then you guys are going to be playing a Friday scrimmage. Talk to us about how things are looking over at Terrebonne.
Well, you know, the first thing is that scrimmage is moved to Thursday on the 24th at 5:30, so it's one day ahead as of right now, and you mentioned the storm. So hopefully, you know, this thing will get in and get out and we won't have anything to deal with and be able to get our first full week of practice in, it seems like, in pads. So, you know, if we can do that, I like the way we're progressing. I think we're getting better every day. Kids have been attentive. They're trying to learn as much as possible. And, you know, we're trying to get as fast as we can at making sure we're doing things the right way and getting each play established and what we have to do and just grow from there. But it's definitely been a little bit of a different task this year, and you know, it's going to be an interesting season.
You mentioned your scrimmage, and if I'm not mistaken, that's Vanderbilt Catholic, and then the following week you started all off with South Terrebonne. And although those are two non-district games, those are probably the two other parish schools here in Terrebonne Parish that present the most problems, the most, that, you know, they've traditionally been fairly strong each year. That being said, your kids are going to know their kids, you know, and I know it's just a scrimmage next week, but it's hard to tell a high school kid it's just a scrimmage. All of that being said, you jump into district the next week. So is it a little different than in past years when, you know, you had a couple other games, and this year it would have been Jesuit and Ellender, where those games maybe I don't know, they weren't so strenuous related to, you know, the kids you were playing and such. So does it make it any different this year that you're jumping right into district that early?
Well, I mean, that's kind of what everybody's having to do in our situation with our district being so large that we start off right off the bat, you know. And there was a time where, you know, me and Coach Luquette at Hanville were talking about we might be the first game of the year. And that would have been an interesting task to take on our end. And he said it would have been the same for him. But, you know, it is what it is. So we've got to go out and we got to be ready to play. And, you know, there's just so many new coaches out there as well, you know. Everything's going to be trying to figure out what their concepts are, what they like to do, what their preferences are, what they show favoritism to, and what they believe in their players. So, you know, this is Lance's second year at Vanderbilt, and he's got a couple of new coaches in with him. But Archie is South Terrebonne, and I'm sure, you know, growing up in that program like he did and all, some things will be the same, but tendencies will change from him and Coach Curlin as well. So, you know, it's going to be kind of interesting trying to figure out and manipulate what you got to do with that. And, you know, they've known us, so they kind of got a little bit of an advantage on what we try to like to do and what we try to get out of our kids. But for the most part, you know, it's going to be football, and the team that executes the best, makes the least mistakes early in the year, is probably going to be the team that comes out over the top, because, you know, if you make too many right now, it's going to be tough to overcome.
Coach, how do you make up for all the lost time? And what I mean by that is you guys had some time over the summer where you were shut down, and then, you know, now two separate storms have taken away some practice days, and, you know, there may be a third one that hopefully doesn't come this way, but it's out there. How do you make up for all the lost time and make sure that you guys are, you know, already in a condensed schedule, ready to roll on October the 2nd?
Well, you know, we don't have a lot of kids coming back, so it's been two different entities for us. And for us to experience, you know, defensively, we lost some guys, but where we've lost them, those guys can kind of catch up on a different type of level versus the offense, where you're replacing quarterbacks with quarterbacks that haven't seen a lot of varsity snaps or had a lot of time against those type of defenses. So, you know, the offensive side of the ball, you just can't make up time. It's almost impossible when you're dealing with quarterbacks having to grow and learn. And you get them going, and then you get shut down, and then you come back, and you got to kind of regress and get back into it. And it just makes it hard on those kids. And, you know, all the guys we're trying at that position are really trying hard to develop and figure out exactly what we want done, how it should be, how to see it, you know, and how to anticipate where certain things are so that they don't make mistakes versus, say, a defender that, hey, okay, well, you know, we're really – probably pretty good up front with Mason and Caden. So our linebackers have a little bit of advantage of learning what they need to do because they've got a little bit more protection. And if they do make a mistake, they got a little more recovery time. And then, you know, some of that stuff's just a little easier to learn for those type of guys that just kind of hunt the football and make plays. So it's two different entities as far as when those guys have to learn what to do and how to do it versus how they can see it, you know. 7-on-7 teaches you a little bit of stuff, but you put pressure in a quarterback's face and things will always change.
Talk about your numbers a little bit. Is it pretty much looks like a Terrebonne High football team from past years? Or numbers higher or numbers lower related to your varsity squad?
Numbers for us are going to be around what we usually are. You know, we're going to be around that 85-90 mark for freshmen through 12th grade. And, you know, the difference for us this year is we usually have a larger senior class that's been with us for a while. And, you know, the guys that have been with us for 4 years, we're about 8 or 9 players. So, you know, our freshman class this year is larger than what it normally is to kind of make that up. But our junior class still has its normal numbers, and our sophomore class has normal numbers. So, you know, this is just that class we got, that first freshman class we got a few years ago. When they came in, it was just a different group, and they weren't quite used to maybe not being the big fish in the small pond, and we're back to being a little fish in a much bigger pond. So it was a little bit different there, but, you know, the class that we have has some strong players in it, and that junior class has some good leadership in it. So I think we're going to be fine as far as balancing out between younger guys to our older.
Coach, what have you heard about this official shortage? Because, you know, I see Thibodeau has moved two games from Friday to Thursday. And from what I understand, talking to some people in the Officials Association itself, they're really, really short, and there may be some schedule adjustments in play for everybody. What have you heard about that?
I've actually talked to, you know, the head of officials and Mr. Danny Dunn, and we've talked about, you know, what's got to take place and how things can happen. And, you know, it's a different entity for us because, you know, we don't have our own stadium and we're splitting between two junior highs and two high schools. And, you know, principals got to make a decision on whether or not they can or can't or are willing to. So it kind of falls out of our hands. But from talking to him, you know, it's understandable that there is a shortage and there are some games having to move. And, you know, we're trying to do what we can to accommodate and make things work easier. But, you know, it's a little tougher when it's not your own field and you got all kinds of stuff scheduled through it. And it's not just football. You know, cross country is running a lot of meets at our place this year due to the regulations they have and having the different standards and needing a little more space, which we actually have between the Holman Junior High School backfields and Terrebonne High. So I think we've hosted four cross country meets so far this year. But, you know, hopefully everything will work itself out. There'll be a few short weeks for everybody. So, like I said, there's going to be a lot of adjusting and there's going to be a lot of things that have to take place. And players are going to have to be the ones that can handle it. And coaches are just going to have to try and implement the best plan they can for them to be able to be successful.
I don't know if any school is doing this, but just out of curiosity, I'll throw it out there and ask, have you kids ever worn masks during practice, maybe as just a practice of wearing a mask? Because I'm curious to see what that's going to be like on that Thursday of the scrimmage.
Well, we do practice it. We have them wear their masks to practice and things like that. But, you know, with the rule being once they're in drills and once they're active and once they're in gameplay, they can take it down. You know, it seems like once they walk out there, we start stretching, they can all come down. So it makes it a little bit different, you know. But when they go to the sidelines while we're in team, you know, they're trying to mask up. So I don't think the mask is the biggest problem, you know, especially with the unfortunate tragedy that happened in Denham Springs. You know, water seems to be the biggest problem. So making sure that they have it all the time and, you know, you really can't provide it. And making sure that they're drinking, because it's no longer you can watch where they go to a certain station to make sure they're hitting the water bottles or getting the water from the water hydrator and all those things. It's just one of those things that you kind of got to just keep emphasizing, drink your water, drink your water, drink your water, but there's no guarantee they do. So we've got a great trainer in Ryan, and, you know, he kind of monitors that for us and keeps an eye on the kids and makes sure that they're doing what they have to do. And, you know, the wet bowl before practice kind of tells us how hard we can push. So, you know, we're trying to make that happen as best we can. But that would be the biggest thing that I think we've had to make an adjustment to as coaches and trying to protect the players.
Coach, talk about the differences in scouting this year compared to other years. And what I mean by that is you guys, four of your first five games are against first-year coaches. So I'm sure on one hand you'd like to kind of create a preliminary outline for what, you know, it would look like. But until you actually see these teams on film and see, you know, what they're doing with their new coaches, I'm sure it's all, you know, all bets are off and everything's up in the air.
Oh, it's definitely going to be a different entity and a different thing there. You know, I think I'm probably one of the last Mohicans in the area. But, you know, between me and Chris Duga, you know, and we know each other pretty well. After that, it's kind of like, well, what are we going to get? And Coach Scott at Destrehan, I got to see him at Arrett. So I have an idea of what he'll try to do with the athletes he has at Destrehan since it was pretty close to what was at Arrett. And, you know, defensively, I'm not sure what they'll do because I know that defensive coordinator is going to be different. And then at Hanville, you got Coach Luquette, who is the offensive coordinator. And, of course, I know Coach Melvin. So we kind of got an idea of what we might get out of that. But with him being the head coach now, does some of that offensive coordinator, defensive style changed slightly from when it was Coach Salt and then Coach Meyer at Central, you know, because we always knew what Coach Menard was going to try to implement as far as the speed of the game and try and get his players to just execute small things and keep the ball away from you and then defensively just try to play sound and not take a whole lot of chances with stunts or blitzes. And, you know, it's just going to be kind of completely different than Coach Anderson at HL. You know, what style is he going to bring to the table? Is he going to stay wing T? Is he going to have a little more spread? Is he going to be a 50 or a four-man? All that's still up in the air until you see it. So it's going to be quite different, and we're just going to have to do a great job of trying to break down that film. And once you get three or four games, you'll probably have an understanding of what they're trying to do.
Well,
sounds
I do
like a
think,
win.
You know, yeah. Go ahead, Casey.
Yeah, I was just saying that sounds good. What you got for him, Stan?
No, I was just wondering, just the last statement of where your scrimmage is, because I actually want to know for myself. I wasn't sure if it was at Vanderbilt or it was at Tom B. Smith.
No, me and Coach talked, you know, last year when we started getting back to competing against each other, and we got the turf field, so it's probably going to always be at Terrebonne High. And, you know, that way if we got rainy weather for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the skies are clear on Thursday, we don't have to worry about the mud and the slop and tearing up a field.
Very good.
Sounds good. Coach, thanks for the time, my friend, and we'll chat again soon, okay?
All right. It's been great. Thank y'all.
Yes, sir. That is Terrebonne football coach Gary Hill doing a great job. I am so excited to see that team play. They've got a lot of quote unquote big name guys back. Of course, we know, you know, Mason Smiths and, you know, the Lucas kid and all that. But as Gary was saying, Stan, they do lose a lot of their starters off of last year's team. I'm curious to see how they piece it together against a brutally tough schedule, but I got a feeling they're going to be very, very good and very, very competitive.
Well, I sat in my truck outside of Tom B. Smith just the other day watching them practice. They'll be just fine, Casey. Because I'm going to tell you what, those kids looked really good. From what I saw, they looked really good. And I know he's losing guys, but they seem to just kind of fit back in place. He kind of cut out a little bit. He's got a kid named Jalen Lucas who's only going to be a junior this year. That is very special. So it's still going to be a very exciting and a very, one-play team. And when I say that, I mean one play. They could go to the house at any time. So, yeah, Terrebonne's just kind of replenishing. They're not replacing.
Look forward to a quick commercial break when we get back. Jesse Turner with the Ellender Patriots. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center. Hour one is in the books. Hour two is coming. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3, 1600 AM KLEB, 102.7 KLEB, and Vision Communications Channel 25. We go to the phone lines now. Our final call-in guest of the day, last but not least, Ellender football coach Jesse Turner. Coach Turner, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning, man. I'm doing pretty good. What about you guys?
Doing fine, my friend. We are excited because the high school football season is now just 2 weeks away. How are things going over in Patriot Country?
Man, we are getting after it, man. The kids are excited. The coaches are excited. Football is here. You know what I'm saying? We got a scrimmage next week against Riverside. We're going to be excited to go against another team. We've been going at it with each other for a couple weeks now. So we're ready, man. We're excited, and I'm more excited for the kids than anything. You know, they need this. So,
Jesse, first of all, you know, our thoughts and prayers continue to be with you. I did want to, because I've reached out to all of the other coaches that we spoke to this morning and talked about the numbers of the team, the kids that they've had involved. Did you see a spike this year in kids maybe that are interested in playing and your numbers related to your varsity team this year? Is it better?
Well, first of all, I definitely want to say thank you for your condolences, man. It's a tough time for my family, but we're praying and we're going to get through. As far as our numbers, to be honest, I expected more, but we got enough. We got about 45 kids, 50 kids, and if you know the history of Ellen in the past, that's not a bad number. You know, last year we dressed out 28 kids at one game, so. We're looking at about 45 to 50 kids, and you got a lot of new guys who are interested in the program and want to help out the football team. But as far as numbers, we're good. We're okay. We're going to be okay.
Everybody's excited. Everybody's ready to roll. And it feels like every time, you know, we get to a situation to where we could get after it, something slows us down, be it a COVID situation, be it a storm. How do you guys, you know, you know, get to temper, you know, get the progress that you need while not going crazy by continuing to get shut down.
I'll lie to you if I tell you it wasn't tough. You know, that's the hard part. You know, we get in a good rhythm with practice going well. You know, the kids are flying around and starting to understand what the coaches are telling them to do, and then all of a sudden the storm comes. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, at the end of the day, I always tell the kids every day, you know, and I spoke this before when I was on the radio, some things is out of our hands. We can't control. We can't control Mother Nature when another storm may come or another pandemic, but the time that we are there, that's what we can control. We can control our attitude and our effort at all times. We can control our focus, and that's what, you know, that's what we go in and out of practice with. That's how we attack every day over here at Ellender, and it works for us, you know. And we don't worry about the other things, and we just, you know, do what we got to do to, you know, to be prepared the best way we can. So,
Coach, I have a friend who I actually coached at one time, and that's how I got to know him. And his son plays for you, and he talks all the time about him and tells me, watch his kid, Coach. So I'm going to let you talk about him just a little bit so that when next time I see him, I could say, okay, you right, or I don't know, the head coach didn't say the right thing, but that is Orion James. Big Rob talks about him all the time. Talk about Orion a little bit, because I know he is getting some looks out there, right?
Well, yeah, he's a special athlete, man. I'm telling you, you know, sometimes dads can over-exaggerate about their kid and you know, they're this and they're that, but Orion, he's a total fact, man. He's just a phenomenal athlete. He can jump, he got big hands, he's got nice frame. About 6'2", and he runs with the best of them, you know what I'm saying? And he'll go up and get that ball, and he's not afraid to go through the middle. Even on a return, he's great in return game. He's definitely one of our top playmakers, you know, and the best thing about Orion is that he's a great kid. He's very coachable, very respectable. Big Rob's not lying to you. He's one of the Big Rob's one of the guys we hear all the time in the stands, you know. His voice got a great trajectory, but you can hear him, you know what I mean? So,
that is a great way to put it, Justin.
Oh, yeah. But his son is a pleasure to coach. He's one of those guys, trust me. They don't come around so often. We can say, like, we don't like to talk bad about kids, which I don't, but at the end of the day, Orion James is a pleasure to coach. He's a great athlete, and, you know, he's very coachable, and he's a great kid. The sky's the limit for that kid.
Coach, you open up the season with H.L. Bourgeois and McMaine, both of the games at home. Those are two teams that are coming off of rough seasons. Talk about the importance of getting off to that fast start.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I do feel like beginning of the year, you know, everybody's going to be kind of, you know, rough and not where they want to be. And every team is going to get better as the season progresses. You know what I'm saying? So it is important for us to get a good start, because I just feel like the team that we have, we will get better once we get to district. You know what I'm saying? So it'll be great to capitalize on a team like HL, which is going to be a great game. You know what I'm saying? We had a rough season last year. They had a rough season last year. So it will be fun to get out there with those guys. And again, over there, my old ball coach who coached me in high school, Coach Anderson. So I know he's definitely going to have those guys ready. So we definitely got to be prepared for that. And then we got McMaine, another team we lost to last year, which was a good game. But both are winnable games for us. And we're going to give it all. And hopefully we finish on top of both of those games going into district. So.
You actually answered a question for me in your response to Casey. I didn't know if you had played for Coach Anderson or it was Coach Washington when you were at Ellender. But now that you did, or at least some of your tenure there, play for Coach Anderson, does it help you in any way? Do you remember some of the schemes and things that you might, when you're on the sideline, you're saying, hey, I remember he's going to do this. You know, he's going to do that.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny, man, because me and Coach Dixon over here, my office coordinator, we both played together. And my 4 years was under Coach Anderson. And one thing I'm going to say about him, he's the reason why I'm coaching today. You know, the impact that he made on my life, it was bigger than football. You know what I'm saying? He's one of those guys, and I wanted to help a kid like he helped me. You know, but Coach Anderson, we got a feeling of some things that he's going to do now that he's back in the high school system that he always did in the past that really worked for him. So I'm not going to say it on the radio because I don't want him to change it up. But I got a feeling that I know some of the things that he's going to do. But at the end of the day, he's a great coach, and I know those guys are going to be ready no matter what.
Coach, talk to us about your quarterbacks, because we saw you play last year, and whenever you protected your guys, they threw a pretty ball, and they were athletic, and you know, did a lot of good things to help your team. And I know that last year you rotated a couple of guys at that spot. Give us a rundown of some of your signal callers.
Patrick Pernum, he will be the returning starter. He started most of the games for us last year. He's a great leader. He definitely could manage the game, and he could throw the ball in. He could get out the pocket a little bit, too. So he's going to be our main signal caller. And we got Brian Williams, who transferred back from Terrebonne. He's a phenomenal athlete, you know what I'm saying? He's going to be able to definitely help us as well in that area. So those are the main two guys, and I feel highly about them, you know what I'm saying, to get the offense going in the direction that we wanted to go. So that we shouldn't have no problems at the quarterback position with a senior and a phenomenal athlete backing them up. So we should be good in that area.
And talk about your scrimmage that you have upcoming this week. Who's the opponent? Where are you going to play it? And is there a lot of the protocol related to COVID that you have to get ready for in that scrimmage?
Yeah, but this is going to be our first one. So, obviously, you know, we got to make sure we are on T with everything. We play in Riverside and LaFleur. You know, we scrimmaged them last year, and they treated us well, and it was a good scrimmage, great scrimmage. So I decided to go back with those guys. But like you said, man, it's the first game that we're going against somebody. So we definitely got to make sure we are following protocols, make sure our masks are on the sideline. And we're working, too. It's going to be a learning experience for everybody. You know what I'm saying? So make sure we clean up the stuff that, you know, that we're not unfamiliar with, which is a lot of stuff. But we're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out.
Coach, I'm looking at the radar map right now. The entire state of Louisiana is covered in green. It's going to be raining all weekend, which for most schools in the area, it's not that big of a deal because of the turf fields. But guess what? You guys don't have a turf field. Your practice field is grass.
Yeah.
What are you guys looking to do here to, you know, try to make up for the lost time, knowing that, hey, your work schedule next week may be condensed because of the rain?
The crazy thing about it, we had a practice schedule this morning at South Terrebonne, you know, on the turf field. But unfortunately, it rained pretty bad on this side of town, so we did have to cancel it. It's going to be tough. You know what I'm saying? I remember in the past when I first started coaching that first year, it rained so much. You know what I'm saying? And we weren't able to get on the practice field for like 2 weeks because our practice field holds a lot of water, it's muddy. You know what I'm saying? So we won't be able to get an effective practice out there. So hopefully, Mother Nature changes the way it don't rain as much, and we can get outside some of these days, and so we can get a good practice. You know what I'm saying? Because we still got to work on fundamentals, man, blocking and tackling. We just started full contact a week ago. You know what I'm saying? So those things is still necessary to win football games. So, but at the end of the day, like I started the interview off, man, we just got to control what we got to control, and if we got to be inside the gym practicing, that's what we got to do. But hopefully we can get outside and get after it and prepare our guys to play their best against Riverside on Friday.
And finally, the strongest position grouping you have, what position is the strongest you feel at this point? You know, and I know it's really early, but back that up with telling us what position has the most to gain and is maybe a little weak right now, but you got to get better at it.
I would definitely say our wideouts are our strength of our team. We're very deep at that position. Like I mentioned a little bit about the backup quarterback, Ryan Williams. He will be playing a little receiver for us. We've got old Ryan James, who got offers from Mississippi State and Virginia University. You know, he's going to lead that pack. Royal Williams is his Ryan brother. Tamaj Virgin, he's a great athlete. So we're very deep at that position. And Tyshawn Hester, you know, I know he's our running back, but he's definitely good. Go to wide out a few plays and motion them out. So that position, definitely. But up front is where we need work at. But I do believe those guys will be able to get it done, you know, so we can win some games and control the front. But they got the most to gain, you know what I'm saying? Going in, we look at our numbers. We're not very depth in that position. We don't have many players, big boys up there, but I think we'll be able to get it done. That won't be a problem.
Sounds like a winner. But look, Coach, we thanks so much for the time, and we're going to chat again throughout the season, okay?
Most definitely, man. Appreciate you guys.
Yes, sir. That is Jesse Turner with Ellender. Man, saying some of those names, I didn't realize, Stan, that they had all those guys back. You know, the James kid and, you know, Hester, and return the quarterbacks, get Ryan Williams back. If they could block, they'll be able to extend the field. They could be a dangerous team. And, you know, a couple of winnable games early, you know how that goes. If you get off to a good start, kids start buying in a little bit, look out. That could be a dangerous team in the upcoming year.
Yep, I'd agree with that. And, you know, you have a new coach, and the one thing we always have seen with Ellender, whenever they have a coaching change, that first year is usually very productive. But I'll go back to what he just mentioned related to offensive and defensive linemen. It's always sort of been a problem, and if you can get in a cycle where you have a pretty good front on offense and defense there at Ellender, you have the complete package. That's what they need to have. The other thing that has always sort of been a problem for Ellender is special teams, so let's hope that they get that straightened out this year.
Out in New Orleans, Tulane is leading Navy 7-0. They forced a punt on the first defensive possession, then drove straight down the field and scored a touchdown. That game is on ABC if you want to tune into that and turn the sound down. Listen to us the rest of the way. Let's catch a quick commercial break. When we get back, we're going to talk some LSU football. Coach O has a great opportunity to be on national television tomorrow. We'll tell you about all that and some of the things coming out of Tiger Camp. You know, it's crazy. I was doing some research and preparation for the upcoming show, and it's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. I discovered that Coach Ed Ogeron is going to be on 60 Minutes tomorrow on CBS, you know, well-known, world-famous show that's been on the air for decades. And I was just thinking to myself, like, has there ever been a guy, Stan, who had hit the ultimate rock bottom low like Coach O did? And he went to Ole Miss, and they didn't like him, didn't let him stay there very long. They were making jokes about the way he talked and the way he coached, and Ed himself made some mistakes too. He's not blameless. He was, you know, not letting his assistants coach, and it only lasted 3 years. And then, you know, he kind of shuffled around and everything like that, and you know, finally landed at LSU. The Tigers took a chance on him. People weren't sure about how that's going to go. And then now, just a couple years later, he's a national champion. He's meeting with President Trump in the White House. He's now one of the faces of the sport. He's going to be on 60 Minutes talking about the COVID plan for playing college football, representing all of college football on national television, talking about the COVID, you know, plans and protocols. Has anyone ever sunk so low only to rise so doggone high?
Well, a simple answer to that is no, no. And, you know, I guess being the Cajun heritage and you know, they talk about his gravelly voice and stuff, it's a great thing and it's a bad thing. You know, when things are not going well, it's easy to pile on. When things are going well, it's something that people kind of want to see, and I think that might be what the situation is now. Sometimes you worry about that. You know, when you have, especially on the professional level, whether it be a quarterback or a basketball player that is a really good basketball player, they're doing too many commercials and too many of this, and you start to go, wait a minute, you know, concentrate on the sport you're playing. The interesting thing that Coach O did this week that I thought was so neat, he had his regular radio show, and I think it's Mr. Blair, who is the announcer, the voice of the Tigers, said, man, you're going to be on 60 Minutes, you're this, you're that, you're all over the place. And he said, yeah, I better win. You know, and I thought that was pretty cool, because he understands, he gets it, that there's a price to pay with going on, you know, with all of that familiarity and all of that stardom, and that is you better win. And when he said that, I was like, good, he gets it. And, listen, he's been extremely positive for our area of the country. There's no doubt about it. And going forward, I think things related to what he's doing at LSU are going to stay positive. He has not said anything that he has not backed up. I mean, last year when he was talking about how great the offense would be at the beginning of the year, we all were tongue-in-cheek saying he's got to be positive. Well, you know what? since then, there's nothing he said that we can't get behind and that we don't believe is actually what at least he feels and knows in his heart to be true.
Couple of things he said this week that I thought were very, very noteworthy. He said that he doesn't believe COVID's going to be an issue at LSU, for one, because he thinks the protocols are safe, but for two, LSU currently doesn't have hardly anyone testing for the virus because he believes that they almost all have already had it. The college football rules and protocols say that once you've tested positive for COVID-19, you then don't need to retest for 90 days because of the antibodies in your blood. So he believes that, you know, LSU's not going to have a big issue at least early in the season because they're not currently having a lot of guys who are testing for the virus because a lot of them have already had it. That was the first thing. Then the second thing I thought was interesting, Stan, was he said earlier this week that right now in fall camp, getting ready for the season, right now LSU's defense is better than they were at any point last season. Now, those are lofty words because after that Ole Miss game last year, LSU's defense started to play pretty doggone well. They shut down Texas A&M. They shut down Georgia. Played very well against a good Oklahoma offense. Played very well against a good Clemson offense. And if LSU's defense right now is better than what those defenses were, at the end of last season, that's a pretty good starting point, and that's a pretty good sign that, you know, this could be a very good season for the Tigers, despite, you know, people kind of have them laying them in the weeds because of some of the guys they lost to the NFL.
That sort of backs up what I was saying about his statements. You know, when he made that statement about the defense, at first I was like, oh, I guess he's trying to be a little positive here. And then I started thinking of last year, and I'm like, no, what he says, he really believes. And if that's the case, we got some things to look forward to from the Tigers this year. I wish he would say those kind of things about his quarterback. I wish he would say something like, you know, my quarterback's going to be every bit as good as the guy we had last year. But that's a little unrealistic, and we get that. There's a lot of things to be optimistic about. And when he talked about the herd immunity situation where we just had so many guys who have had the disease, I shouldn't call it a disease, the virus, that maybe it plays to our favor a little bit, I sort of agree with that. You know, you kind of got some of it out of the way, so to speak. So I feel pretty good about what's going on there. He doesn't say things that he doesn't believe. And I think going forward, it's going to be it's going to be something we could really hang our hat on this year with LSU. Obviously, I'm not talking about at the same level as what we saw last year, but I think it's going to be pretty good. And by the way, when it comes to the 60-minute show, I understand that his mom's going to be in a lot. So Miss Coco, who I know is a stone's throw from where you're at right now, she's going to be featured. So that ought to be a very good, entertaining show.
Absolutely. Miss Coco is an unbelievable woman, and we're so happy for that family and so happy for all the friends of Coach O and all that, and look forward to seeing her get her moment to shine on 60 Minutes tomorrow. Stan, very quickly, watch the Thursday night game. And look, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago where we said, hey, the reports out of camp are that Joe Burrow is pretty doggone good. And on Thursday against a Browns team that has a pretty good defense, 37 of 61, 316 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and that's playing A, without any defense at all, B, playing without any offensive line or protection at all. For a rookie on a short week of preparation at that on a Thursday game to throw for 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions on the road in his first road game, the Bengals are set up, man. They've got to surround him with some talent, but they have their quarterback for the next decade. They're set up at that position. The guy looks fantastic.
I would agree with that. The only thing that scares me is he's playing for the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, we had a guy in Archie Manning who knows if Archie Manning would have played elsewhere, what kind of career, how it would have all equated for him. It actually, in the middle of that game, I started thinking to myself, you know, we talk about Tom Brady and we talk about Drew Brees and whoever else it may be, but we understand that they were in the right place at the right time with the right team in the right position. I just hope that that happens to Joe Burrow because you can see it. You can see that he's going to be special and that there are some things that he does and some things he understands about the pro game already at such a young time in his career that he's going to be something that's just out there. I did sort of, and listen, I'm not by any stretch of the imagination a Baker Mayfield fan, but I thought, man, this guy is actually winning this game. He's going to win this game because, quite honestly, they won it rather handily, not blew them out of the water, but rather handily. And I'm thinking, all we're doing is sitting here and praising Joe Burrow. So that was a little strange, because winning is the bottom line, and I hope that that comes for Joe Burrow. I'm just really scared of the hole that the Bengals are in and how they get out of it. They're 0-2, and obviously the Browns are not very good. And quite honestly, they lost to the Chargers, and the Chargers are not very good either. So if you're 0-2 against two teams you maybe could have beat, what is the rest of the season going to look like when you play in the Ravens and you're playing, you know, the Steelers and such? So it's going to be interesting. By the way, for everybody who's sitting there listening saying, well, wait a minute, isn't Stan the guy who said last year that the Bengals were going to win that division? Man, listen, I was just wrong. That's all I can say to that. I was wrong.
Well, I think that the Bengals are in a situation where I understand that they want to, you know, win as many games as they can this coming season. But you've got a rookie quarterback. I'd be looking 4 or 5 years down the line. If it gets to a point where you're out of contention, man, go and set yourself up in the draft, man. Get yourself a draft pick. And with the way that it works, the Bengals are in a good position for this, because so many teams want that quarterback in the top five or in the top 10, but the Bengals don't need that. So what that means is that they would then be able to trade their pick to a team who's looking to jump up to get that quarterback and get a bunch more assets in the future. That could start to build you that offensive line and then that defensive line and some of the things that they're lacking. Though, easier said than done, these are the Bengals, and they've never been good in my lifetime. So I guess I'll believe it when I see it, right?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. From a situation where if you have your quarterback in place in your franchise, you've probably solved the biggest piece of the puzzle, and it looks like they've done that. I don't know. You know, even the Browns, you know, with Myles Garrett on the defensive line and a few other things, and obviously they do have some talent on their team, they've got some things together, but they're still, you know, the Cleveland Browns. And it takes a long time. You're too young to remember. And you know, Truck and I certainly can remember the many, many years of the Saints just being god-awful. And I know the switch can be flipped, but until it does, I just hope that Joe Burrow plays with something that's successful.
No doubt about it. So let's catch a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk some more NFL. The Saints are not playing tomorrow. They're playing on Monday night against the Las Vegas Raiders. That's so weird for me to say Las Vegas Raiders. But anyway, let's catch a quick break when we get back. More NFL. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by the Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 and 1600 AM KLEB, 102.7 FM KLEB.
.net.
The Saints are 1-0 after beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last Sunday. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Stan, kudos to you. Truck and I both picked Tampa, and we were both wrong. New Orleans played very well from start to finish. And I think the most impressive thing about their 34-23 win is that I don't think they played very well offensively and still were able to beat their division rivals. I thought their defense was very good. And I think that it's low-key insulting to New Orleans that all the headlines this week are, oh, Tom Brady played poor, Tom Brady did this, Tom Brady did that. How about, you know, hey, maybe the Saints' defense was the reason why Tom Brady didn't play well, because they were in his face throughout the game and were not allowing him to get comfortable.
The things we sensationalize, I tell you, it's really amazing that Tampa Bay got all of the headlines this week, whether it was positive or negative, after that game. I must say, though, you know, you talked about me picking the Saints, and it's the only one I got right, so I just want to start off by saying, man, I had a horrible week in picking, but I just thought if the Saints did the things that they could do, they would be okay. I will say this, you know, Coach Colley made the comment earlier today that he didn't feel like the loss of Michael Thomas was going to be big going forward, and I don't know how big it'll be, quite honestly, because I think Coach Payton is innovative enough to make sure that they spread it around and get things done this upcoming week. But that being said, related to the Tampa Bay game, the one thing I noticed from Tampa Bay's defense is they did everything. And when I say everything, they double-teamed. They chucked him at the line. They were physical with him. They did everything in their power to make sure that Michael Thomas was not going to beat them in that game. And I think that sort of threw the offense of the Saints out of rhythm early on. The one thing that the Bucs, probably looking back on the game now, are saying to themselves is, man, I wish we would have spent a little bit more time you know, taking care of Jerry Cook, because they didn't do that very good. As far as the defense of the Saints goes, they did what they had to do. That's a high potent offense that the Bucs potentially have, and I feel like they pretty much shut it down. So, you know, going forward, you have to be all smiles because you have a very winnable game this week, and you have one win over a division rival already under your belt.
One thing I would like to see New Orleans do a little bit better is run the ball between the tackles. For as a team, 34 carries, 82 yards rushing, that's not any good. And to make it as far as this team wants to go, they've got to fix that. Kamara, 12 carries, 16 yards on Sunday. That wasn't very good. Latavius Murray, 15 carries, 48 yards. Now, I get the Bucs have a really good defensive line. They have, you know, Ndamukong Suh and all these different, you know, the guys that are taking up space in the middle. But New Orleans is supposed to have one of the better offensive line groups in the NFL, and they did hold up in pass protection pretty well, but they didn't push forward in the running game as well as they would like to see. And talk about Brian, another thing he said is he thinks New Orleans is going to get back to running the ball against Las Vegas. I want to see it because that was the one thing that was lacking and lacking pretty heavily on Sunday.
Well, I know Ruiz is back again this week. I don't know what kind of difference that's going to make. But I would agree totally that the offensive line, if there's a downer in a position group, that would have been it. I would have been expecting maybe a little bit more. Murray did start to gain yardage as the game went on, so I think they did wear down the Bucs defensive line just a little bit. There was one play that they showed at least three times, and I don't mean to pick on him because I'm sure he had a lot of great plays, and I did not specifically watch him the entire game, but on this play, you couldn't help but watch him. Andres Pete, I'm not sure what he was doing on that particular play, but he just Olayed, and it was either Murray or it could have been Alvin Kamara. They were killed in the backfield, and I was like, uh-oh, this is not good. I understand busts are going to happen, but, yeah, I would agree that the offensive line has a little bit of a ways to go, and we're going to find out a lot more about them this week. Again, a very winnable game. Interestingly enough, this was a game I had planned on being at out in Las Vegas. So, again, because of COVID, I didn't get to go to the Death Star, and that's a little bit of a downer.
Stan, do you think that we're ever going to see preseason again? Because I was watching last week, and I was thinking to myself, hey, these guys are playing well. There's not any rust. And I know that the players don't want to play those games. So I was, you know, looking back at it, I was thinking, man, I don't know if we're ever going to see preseason again, and if we do, I don't think we're ever going to see four games of preseason again.
Well, it helps coaches to evaluate who they're going to keep on their teams, and that's it. That's it. For the play of the game, if two teams are playing semi-sloppy against each other, that can happen in game 15 of your year, you know, in week 15. So, yeah, I think, you know, one preseason game for me would be plenty. I don't mind if they don't do any. Obviously, college football doesn't do any. Now, I do like the idea. And when Chris Dugas a couple of weeks ago told us scrimmages are so much more beneficial because you work on situations, I do think if the pro teams would get together in camp like the Saints did with the Texans a few times, and I know they did it with the Patriots when they were up north, get together and do specialized scrimmages, that's plenty enough, and I think you could find out about your new kids coming in by doing that. I would agree with you as to this year, I don't miss it at all, and I don't think that the play has missed it that much that we didn't have any preseason. I don't know. There's a lot of money to be made in preseason, so money talks. We'll see what happens.
So you move to the Monday night game, taking on Las Vegas. They beat Carolina 34-30. Derek Carr, 22 of 30, 239 yards and a score. Las Vegas is so heavily based on their running game. Josh Jacobs had three touchdowns on the ground, 93 yards rushing. You're facing a team that scored 34 points last week, but you're also facing a team that gave up 30 points to an offense that's not expected to be one of the better ones in the league. So what are you looking at? You think this is going to be a low-scoring game, high-scoring game? What do you think the Saints are going to be getting into here in Las Vegas?
I think the Saints, you know, believe it or not, without Michael Thomas, I'm kind of going the route of what Coach Kale said. I think they're going to score high 30s, maybe even into the 40s in this game. I just believe that if those guys on the Saints defense are running around saying, this is the best defensive talent I've ever been around, I think we play together extremely well, and it's only going to get better every week, I don't see how Las Vegas can score, say, more than 24 points in this game. So I think we're talking about a 38-24, maybe a 40-something 24, maybe 21-28, somewhere in there. So, yeah, and I did go back and look at the stat line. That's my, you know, my kind of forte is not necessarily watching all of the games, but going back and following a game's play line, like the play sheet. And I looked at that game with Carolina and the Raiders, knowing that there were going to be questions this week. And when you look at it, you kind of like, man, boy, I hate the term it as this because I did not see the game in real time. Sort of looked like a pillow fight a little bit. Two teams that are not particularly strong. So that being the case, unless the Saints go out and lay an egg, which we know in the NFL anything is possible, and we're in COVID and we have a storm in the Gulf and life is not the same, who knows? But I would say all things being equal, that's a stupid statement because nothing's like that anymore. but all things on paper show that the Saints should really win this game fairly easily. Although I know that's a big statement to be made talking about NFL football.
If college, or if the NFL rather, was like college football and there were polls that were ranking the teams after week one, who would you rank number one? You got Kansas City who won impressively. Seattle looked great. Buffalo looked great. The Packers played well. The Saints played well. Who would be number one? Or the Ravens as well. Who would be number one in the Gravois NFL poll?
Oh, Kansas City. And listen, these are not teams I necessarily like or dislike, although I do, you know, I've always, since a kid, been a little bit of a Chiefs fan. The Chiefs, the Ravens next. And listen, again, I was the guy who last week said the Bengals might be the upstart and come up and win that. But after going back and looking at the stat line from that Ravens game and how they totally dismantled the Browns and seeing the star power that the Browns had on Thursday night, of course, the Browns turned the ball over a lot in that game too. But I would put the Ravens right there. Man, Green Bay is kind of scary. I hope they don't get it all together because they're in the NFC. The one team I can't put in there, sorry, Casey, or put anywhere around there, and I thought I might be able to after last week, is the Dallas Cowboys.
You're right about that. Same old, and the decision to go for it on fourth down instead of kicking the field goal, very interesting indeed.
Well, that Let's one go wasn't ahead and catch necessarily. It. Wasn't a pillow
go ahead,
fight,
Sam.
Casey, but wasn't a pillow fight, but it was real close to it.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, it was way too close to it. Let's catch a quick break. When we get back, we'll make our picks, and the Cowboys game will be on the list. The Saints will be on the list. We've got a couple college games as well. It's the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute.
985-632-0988.
We got hustled last week, Stan. Truck is in first place in our pick'em game. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Truck is standing with 6 wins, 2 defeats. Stan and I were both 5-3 in the opening week, so we've got to make up for lost time. The first game we're going to pick, gentlemen, Central Florida, the number 14 team in the country, traveling to Atlanta to take on a Georgia Tech team who was fresh off of a victory last weekend against Florida State. Stan, who you got in the Central Florida-Georgia Tech matchup?
I'm going Georgia Tech, and I know a lot of people think that's a mild upset, but I like the way they played and came back last week to defeat Florida State. So I'm going to take a shot at Georgia Tech.
Truck?
John Brady Jr.'s alma mater, Georgia Tech.
And, Georgia Tech, okay.
Didn't Mo go play basketball? At Georgia Tech?
Yeah, Clarence Moore was a Georgia Tech guy from this area. Okay. I got to go against you guys. I'm going to go Central Florida here. They're an 8-point favorite. I think that they're going to go on the road and get the win. I think it's going to be a great game. Miami and Louisville, this is a matchup of two top 25 teams. Louisville is at home. They're a 1-point favorite, which means Vegas is basically saying pick either team. Miami has De'Aaron King, the transfer quarterback from Houston that a lot of folks are excited about.
I was not impressed with Miami in their first game this year. Haven't seen much on Louisville. But you know what? If they're playing at home, I'll go Louisville. A very shaky pick, but Louisville.
Cardinals all the way.
I'm going to agree with you guys. I thought Miami looked, quite frankly, bad in their opener, and I think that Louisville at home is going to take care of business against Miami. a light college slate. We would have loved to pick the Tulane and UL games, but they both already started. Georgia State is leading UL 7-0 at the end of the first quarter. Tulane is leading 10-0 against Navy in the second quarter of that game. So we'll shift to the NFL. The Vikings and the Colts, these are two teams that had high hopes, and both of them didn't play well last week. The Vikings got blasted by Green Bay. The Colts got embarrassed by a bad Jacksonville team. Both of these teams are going to be hungry to not go 0-2. So what do you say you, the Colts and the Vikings?
Who's home?
The Colts are at home, and they're a three-point favorite.
I got Vikings just because I know Mack is out for the year, so that was his start at the running back position for the Colts. And I'm not sure what the voodoo is on Phillip Rivers, but there is some kind of voodoo. He just, I don't know, I don't understand it. But Minnesota started to play a little bit better during that game against Green Bay, and the Colts actually started to play worse against Jacksonville. So let's go Vikings.
Rivers and the Colts.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Truck on this one. I for whatever reason, I think the Colts are going to get it together, and I just have my doubts about Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. So I'm going to go the Colts, though reluctantly. The Rams, who looked pretty good beating the Cowboys, or if the Cowboys are terrible, then maybe didn't look that good, but they only won by three. They're traveling to take on an Eagles team who you talk about looked bad. They allowed 9 sacks against Washington. The Rams are traveling, and they're a 1.5-point underdog tomorrow at noon on Fox.
Rams, I don't know why, but Rams, just because Philadelphia really stunk it up last week.
Rams all the way.
Yeah, I agree. If the Eagles couldn't block the Washington team's offense, defensive line, they're not going to block Aaron Donald and those guys that the Rams have. I think that Wentz is going to have another tough day, and the Rams are going to put it on them. Let's see. We've got this is actually a pretty fun matchup here. We've got the Patriots, who are going to be taking on the Seahawks. The Seahawks looked great, but New England played tremendous defense, and they slow the game down, run the ball with Cam Newton. This game is in Seattle. The Seahawks are only a 3.5-point favorite despite being at home.
I'm going Seattle. It's at home. That's a major factor, but I just believe that it took the Patriots a while to get that done against a bad Dolphins team last week.
Seattle, 12th man, all the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go Seattle here, though I do think that New England's a team to look out for. They control the clock so much with their run game, but I don't think it's going to be enough on the road. I think Seattle's going to get the win, and I think that they're going to cover. Let's see. We've got the Ravens, who may have looked like the best team in the NFL in week one, taking on the Texans. This is a game that they're going to be traveling to play in Houston. The Ravens, despite going on the road, are a 7-point favorite, a touchdown favorite on the road.
You know what? I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that the Texans are sort of fighting for their life after only 1 week of football, but they have to prove something. This is my wild card pick, but I'm going to go Texans to win this one.
Ravens.
So Truck's going Lamar Jackson. Stan's going Deshaun Watson. I'm going to go Lamar Jackson. I think the Ravens just have too much in their running game. I don't like the moves the Texans made in the offseason, getting rid of Hopkins and getting David Johnson. I'm going to go the Ravens in this one. The Chiefs. One of the better teams in the NFL, if not the best team in the NFL, traveling to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. The Chiefs are a big favorite, as you might expect. Stan, what say you? Do you think the Chiefs take care of business on the road?
Yes, I do. Chiefs win this one easily.
Oh, yes. Chiefs, easy.
Yeah, we agree. We agree. The Chiefs are going to roll on the road. Now it's going to be time for me to get a little bit of a migraine headache before the show ends. The Cowboys are going to be home tomorrow. Taking on the Atlanta Falcons, two teams who looked pretty bad defensively in week one, but showed that, you know, hey, maybe they have, you know, some good quarterback play. The Cowboys are a 3.5-point home favorite. The loser of this game will be 0-2. Gentlemen, what say you?
Man, I have to believe somewhere along the line, the Cowboys are going to fess up and play to their potential, and what better way to do it and to get it started against the Atlanta Falcons, so I'll go Cowboys.
Dak's going to have a good game for contract talks. Cowboys.
See, this one is hard for me because I watched the Cowboys try to defend Robert Woods last week, who's the Rams' number one receiver, and it was a struggle. So I'm wondering how in the heck are they going to defend Julio Jones? But with all of that being said, I watched the Falcons play the Seahawks. Their defense is a train wreck. I think the Cowboys are going to run it and throw it, keep their defense off the field, and I'm going to go Dallas in a bit of a shootout tomorrow. One more, then we'll pick the Saints game. We've got the Giants and the Bears. These are two bad teams. Who's going to be less bad tomorrow? The Bears are at home, and they're a five-point favorite.
The Bears are at home, so I guess I'll go Bears. But, boy, that seems like there's some problems in Giantland. Isn't there problems in Giantland every year? But, yeah. Listen, the Bears showed a lot of moxie by coming back last week and winning that game that they won. So because it's at home, because actually if they were playing in the Meadowlands, I probably would have picked the Giants. So let's go Bears at home.
Home team all the way, Bears.
Yeah, I think the Bears are going to win, and they're going to win comfortably. Now the last one, you're going to have to wait an extra day for this one. That's the Saints and the Raiders. The Saints traveling to Las Vegas to take on John Gruden and the boys. Both teams are 1-0. New Orleans is a 6-point favorite in this game. Las Vegas says over under 49, so they're figuring a game that'll be in the high 20s. The Saints are going to be without Michael Thomas. What say you, gentlemen?
Again, I don't think this was much of a thought process to go into it. I think the Saints, but boy, it is the NFL, and the Saints seem to play these type games poorly, but I still, you know, if we're just talking about a win situation, I think the Saints will win it. Whether they cover the spread, I'm not sure.
Raiders are not for real. Too much hype about the new stadium. Saints will prevail.
I agree. It'll be a sweep for New Orleans. I think that the Saints are going to miss Michael Thomas more than we realize, but I think that they'll run the ball heavily, and I think they'll shut down the Raiders' run game, and I think New Orleans is going to win a comfortable one on the road out in Vegas. We want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Aaron Meyer, Brian Colley, Gary Hill, Jesse Turner. We're getting awfully close to high school football season. We're so excited about that. Continue to social distance and all that good stuff. Stay dry. Stay safe. We pray for our friends still in Lake Charles. We pray for our friends out in Alabama and Florida who've been hit by all the different storms, and we hope that we could stay safe with beta that's roaming in the Gulf. So have a great weekend, everybody. God bless.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodaux Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's